Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Hello. I am the obituary writer of this lovely town of Crestfall, Idaho, and this is Death by Dying Live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the funeral. It's heartening to see such a turnout for today's memorial. It's encouraging, really. Just when it seemed funerals were losing their zest, perhaps they're making a comeback. In Crestfall, it used to be that going to a funeral was like a night out. Teenagers would make a date out of it. Sure, that new hot film was screening at the local theater, but what thrills could the latest Cars Turning Into Robots movie give you that you couldn't get from going to a random person's funeral? It was an event. There were concessions for those who wanted to eat their grief. Folks could book primary seating. Was this morbid? Perhaps. But what else are you going to do on a Saturday night? Realistically, be honest with yourself. You're here right now. But much like life itself, all good things come to an end. And the appeal of Crestfall's funerals died off. Maybe it's good that funerals aren't a spectacle anymore. Maybe it distracted from who the person actually was. But it sure was fun. I can't help but be a little disappointed. I know this evening is about the deceased and not we the living. But I can't help but feel a little disappointed about the fact that it seems that you all didn't get the dress code. I mean, we dressed for the occasion. This man in the front row is wearing a baseball cap. It's a little disrespectful, don't you think? Thank you, sir. I assume you all knew Samuel Plunk since you're here, but whoever turned down some backstory? Samuel Plunk was 100 years old when he died and was one of the most busiest men in town, right up until he passed away and assumed room temperature. He was the secret handyman, you see. The people of Crestfall, Idaho, are hardworking people. And so naturally, the last thing anyone wanted to admit was that they didn't know how to fix something. This is where Samuel came in. With great discretion in mind, he would be welcomed into people's homes in the dead of night to fix leaky pipes, backed up plumbing, flickering light bulbs. During the day, neighbors would exclaim to one another, "My, you sure know how to keep up a house." And they would reply, "Oh, you know, I do what I can. I learned from the best. I learned from my father." And of course they learned it from their father because he used to call the secret handyman as well. He will be missed. There will forever be a Samuel Plunk-shaped hole in our hearts and a broken furnace in our basements. Well, before we all get too depressed, let's get on with it. Tonight we have three delightful living speakers here to give some insight into Samuel's compelling life. I would like to welcome Leroy Jones to say a few words about our departed friend. He was the last person to see Samuel before he died, so he is going to grace us with a look into that final day.
Thank you there, obituary writer. Let me see here. Sorry. I wrote my eulogy down on napkins because I used all my stationery to make paper hats for everyone to cheer you up. But I didn't realize it was raining outside. That was one wet wonton of a surprise. So, if you'd like a mushy paper hat made from a place of pure love, grab one on your way out. Anyways, the final day. Let me see. I woke up late, around 11:30 in the morning. My sleep schedule has been thrown off ever since I started playing bridge with my buds, Pete and Chandler. It's very addicting, and I have lost a lot of money. Don't tell the missus. Just kidding. I don't have a missus. I'm alone. Oh, but I fed my pet iguana, Leroy Jr. I fed him an avocado for breakfast. He loves his avocados. He sure does get violent if he doesn't get his greens. I'll bite and I'll bark with that one, am I right? I'm so sorry I killed Samuel. I'm so sorry he's dead. As in, I'm sorry for your loss. I have nothing to be sorry for. It's just that he fixed things, you know? He really knew how to fix things. How to make things right. How to make them better. Make them okay. Because mistakes happen, right? We all goof up. We can all be major league goofballs. Like sometimes we might just have a runny faucet and all we have to do is tighten the nozzle a little. And other times there's no stopping that runny faucet and the water just keeps pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and we don't know what to do and then the water's flooding the entire room and there's no escaping, you're just drowning in your own remorse. Anyhow, that morning I called up Samuel to fix a burned out light bulb and it was a good, yeah, it was a good interaction. Oh, nice guy. Thank you.
Thank you, Leroy. What a wonderful eulogy. I really feel like that spoke volumes about Samuel's life. Up next, we have the local butcher, who was recently promoted to town coroner. Give him a big round of applause, the butcher, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. It's nothing, really. Just doing my job. I've been gutting and slicing up pork and beef for a while now, so it feels really refreshing to finally try my hand at human corpses. Oh, right. That's my pet goat, Chester. He's my partner in crime. Ain't that right, Chester? That's classic Chester for you. Right. Let's talk about why we're really here. What could be said of old Sammy P? The plunkster. Handy man. He was a kind man. The best. He was dedicated and hardworking. He made all of our lives brighter, whether we were ready to admit it or not. He was a ladies' man. He fathered at least half of you in the audience. And he had a century to work his magic. Let's see here. What else about Sammy? He was generous. Warm-hearted, had multiple contusions on his left temple and upper arm that suggested an abrupt blunt impact at a 45-degree angle. Further inspection of his internal organs suggested severe vascular rejection in the allograft. I'm getting that, Chester, jeez! This led to severe heart dysfunction with chronic passive congestion of the lungs and liver. Chester was mentioning how the presenting symptoms likely resulted in heart failure. Yeah, real nice guy. Oh, you're right, Chester. You're absolutely right. That being said, there is a suspicious crater formation of flash burns on his hands, suggesting possible electrocution. Could be an accident, but I'm a sucker for foul play being involved. Even murder.
Wow. Thank you for those words. I am sure that was incredibly impactful and highly educational to Plunk's loved ones.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Let's move on, shall we? Here to lift your spirits with the Holy Spirit is none other than Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff, take it away.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jeff, pastor of the church right here, right now. It's not actually right here. It's about 8 blocks which way, kitty corner to Lulu's hair salon. So if you're ever getting your hair done, you want to talk about Jesus. I'm there. I live there. At the church, not the hair salon. Living at a hair salon would be itchy. Welcome to the sermon. Samuel Plunk. I knew him quite well. Not quite well, but I've got a Sammy story for you. As a boy, I was camping out in the dark woods with my mother and father. And, you know, my father was having just a titch of trouble getting the fire going. And my mother said it's probably because of his impotency. And then she called Samuel Plunk. And that man came and he started our fire. And he left with my mother. And that fire, it kept us warm. He fixed that. He comes at night. He sneaks in and repairs that one floorboard your father smashed all of your mother's dishes upon after the Philadelphia Eagles lost the football game. He repairs the hidden things beyond your repair. You invite him in, and he mends the broken things that you can't fix. Sounds a lot like Jesus. A man who mends your brokenness. You fail. You try to be good and kind, but ultimately you are broken. You find you cannot fix yourself. You need to invite someone in who can fix you. You need a Samuel Plunk.
Inspiring as always, Pastor Jeff. Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, we have Samuel Plunk's one and only apprentice, Alexander Thud.
Hello, hi. I'm Thud, Alexander Thud, apprentice to secret handyman Samuel Plunk. We worked together for many years. He would hold the hammer, and I would hold the nail. It was busy work, very dangerous work. But he was a good man, and also my father. He never really acknowledged it. I saw an ad in the paper for a job, and I just knew he was my dad. But, you know, he came, he helped my mom, he actually fixed the garbage disposal. I applied and, well, he gave me the position. We never acknowledged it to each other, but we both knew. I worked with him for 11 years because I thought maybe next year he'll feel close enough to me that maybe he'll just slip up and call me son. He didn't, though. He was, I mean, really good with a pneumatic nail gun. I'm not sure why we never talked about those sort of things. I wanted to say now that I love you, Paul. I admire your caulking skills.
All right! I can't take it anymore! I murdered Samuel Plunk!
You murdered my illegitimate father?
Look, I'm sorry, okay? Let me explain. When I called up Samuel to fix that burned-out light bulb, that wasn't the end of the story. In fact, that was just the beginning.
Well, yeah, we kind of figured. What happened?
Well, he had to climb up a ladder to reach the bulb, and he asked me to turn off the circuit from the fuse box just to be safe.
What a safe man. So unlike myself. I'm a regular Stumbles McGillicuddy. Anyway, just as he was changing the bulb, a raven appeared near me and said,
"Caw, caw! All of your life choices have been a mistake. Caw!"
And that startled me, because birds aren't supposed to, you know, be indoors. I was so startled, I toppled over and accidentally hit the fuse switch, just as Samuel was tinkering with the open circuit. I heard a bzzzt and a whoa, 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 and then a clunk. His head hit on my hand-me-down armoire. The whole shebang blew a fuse, and suddenly the lights were out. And so were his.
I knew it. I knew there was foul play involved. You murdered old Sammy P. My instincts are always on the nose.
Is your armoire okay?
I'm sorry, everyone. I truly am. Oh, please forgive me. Bah, bah, bah!
You're right, Chester. Nothing short of the death penalty for Leroy.
Oh, not again!
My dearest companions, calm your tushes. Leroy has done no wrong.
Really?
Oh, of course you did something wrong. You killed a man. But it's no matter. A raven had no right to be so rude to you like that. You are forgiven in the eyes of the Lord, as you should be by your fellow man. Accidents happen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Pastor. That sure means a lot. I think I'm gonna go make some more paper hats to calm down. This has been one heck of a doozy.
Certainly, my dear child. Go and rest your weary brow.
What pageantry. I love a good funeral. Thank you all for coming here to celebrate Samuel Plunk's life. I can't help but think about what he meant to us as a secret handyman. Truth be told, I called Samuel once. The doorknob on my front door fell off, and I couldn't leave my apartment. And so I waited until the middle of the night to ask for help. I don't know why I didn't just admit I couldn't fix it myself and call for a regular handyman. Appearances. Appearances, that's what it was. The daily facades we all like to put up to make it look like we know what we're doing in this life. But 100 years. Samuel was alive for 100 years. He saw centuries worth of stories in this town, and after a while, those facades start to fade. They start to go away. And then when you die, they really go away. Living a life with facades is a life closed off. When your doorknob is broken, you need to let people in so that they can see the mess. It's the only way things ever get cleaned up. When you die, all that's left is you and the people you let in. When you're alive, you need to worry about jobs and relationships and the leaky pipe you don't know how to fix. But when you die, it's just you. It's just you and those you've shown yourself to. I think at a time like this, there's only one thing left to do. Enjoy a classic song written by Crestfall's very own, The Bally Go Backward Boys.
Hello, my name is Eugene Portage, and I'm going to play you a Crestfall, Idaho anthem. You know the weird lyrics.
Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. And he knocked, and he knocked, but no one did come. Now his life is over, his afterlife's begun. Well, Johnny was just like you and I, dead and wondering what to do. He asked the angels if they'd like some coffee, and God said, "That is cute." So he set out straight for those pearly gates, but forgot to leave it cracked. He got shut out and he tried to shout, but there ain't no going back. And you want to know the worst of it? Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. And he knocked, And he knocked, but no one did come. Now his life is over, his afterlife's begun. Well, folks, what's a fella to do? Johnny out there with no straps on his shoes. Oh, Mr. God, he died in vain. And that's about when it started to rain. With a thunderous clap and a flickety flash, Johnny's rocketing down to a hellfire crash. With a bump and a skip and a tear and a rip, sweet Johnny was on a devilish, devilish trip. He tried to escape with heavenly stealth, but he was standing before the devil himself. Johnny looked up, trembling with fear, as the devil chuckled. There's plenty of coffee down here. You want to know the worst of it? Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. And he knocked, but no one did come. Now his life is over, his afterlife's begun. Everyone's singing out.
Genuinely, seriously. Come on.
Come on. Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land. And he knocked, but no one did come.
No, sir.
Now his life is over, his afterlife's begun.
One more time.
Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land.
You got it!
Johnny left his bootstraps in the promised land.
What a shame!
And he knocked, but no one did come. Now his life is over, his afterlife's begun. And now his life's over, his afterlife's begun.
Thank you all again. Live life to the fullest. Don't forget to drink the foam off of your Moscato. Smell every rose, even the pokey ones. And don't be afraid to leave your doors unlocked. Thank you. And if you'd like to find us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at Death by Dying Pod. Yeah, at Death by Dying Pod. Thank you, guys.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum-dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium in The Valentine Heresy, an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Newly promoted Inquisitor Lucius Valentine has received visions of the death of the immortal God Emperor. With few options before him, he teams up with hive-bred criminal siblings Lyric and Alto. Together, they must defeat a cabal of shadowy foes to save the Emperor and the Imperium. Can this trio of unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war?
The Emperor is going to die in a year. My job is to make sure the Emperor doesn't die. Because if the Emperor dies, the Astronomicon goes out. And the only thing keeping the Imperium alive is the fact that we have a very large navy and a very large army and space marines, and they shoot everyone. It's delightful. Praise the Emperor. Thanks for that. But if the Astronomicon goes out, we have no navy, we have no ability to defend ourselves, and the Xenos and Chaos will overrun us instantly because there will be no defense.
So every planet will turn out like Galen's Glory?
And that would be the best case scenario. Which is why we need to keep the Emperor on his throne.
I spit in my palm and put my hand out for a handshake.
Am I supposed to do something in return? Is this... I'm sorry, I just don't know what this is.
Alto's like, yeah, like this. He spits in his hand and puts it out towards you as well.
Then I spit in both palms and shake their hands separately.
We have an inquisitorial band.
Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.